Hello and welcome to the 20th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. On today's episode, we learn about three new canines, one domestic and two wild. And we have a first of its kind for our Animal of the Week. Be sure to follow us on our social media accounts so that you can see all the animals we talk about and get the links to the articles we discuss. And please consider supporting us at patreon.com/animaladdictspodcast. Episode 20 of the Animal Addicts Podcast starts right now. Hello and welcome to the 20th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
I almost said I was Casey again. I haven't done that since like episode 2 or something. And today we're going to talk about a whole new assortment of animals. Ew, alliteration. My favorite. But first, what have you been up to, Casey?
Looking to the future and having emotional and mental breakdowns.
Okay. How so, though?
Thinking about looking at like graduate school and like, first off, requirements that I would probably not be able to meet. Because I am not good with networking.
Why?
For letters of rec from faculty.
Okay.
Because in my college career, I've only ever gotten to know really like two of my professors, one at my community college, then now one at my university.
Yeah.
And then also just looking at like, also looking at job listings. First off, Department of Interior is hiring a lot, but never in California.
Oh, that's annoying. Okay.
It's like, I'm not moving to the Midwest.
No.
And then also, it's like, a lot of these, I do have the degree. No experience, though.
Oh, that's everything. Yeah. Job.
And it's like, this degree and such experience.
That's literally every job.
Not unless you're retail.
Well, yeah, no, but that doesn't need a lot.
Yeah. No, you just need to be an attractive cashier.
I don't think that's a requirement.
Or barista.
I don't think that's a requirement.
Yes, it is.
I don't think being attractive is a requirement.
Yes, that's how they make sales.
That's not how they make sales. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I was ugly, but, like, I'm not going to say I was a super hot chick when I got hired.
But they do hire the pretty ones.
Do they?
Yes. Look at Starbucks.
Well, yeah,
the
baristas. I'm talking about cashiers.
Well, like, I know people that where their bosses told them only hire like the hot girls for cashiers.
Oh, that's really terrible. That's also like definitely a discrimination act.
Yes.
They should not say that. That's setting them up for lawsuits. But yeah. Okay. Well, you were freaking out.
Yes.
That's typical, honestly, though.
Still on the inside, but on the outside, I'm fine.
When you're getting to that college grad time, though, that's very typical.
Yeah. My sister's also having, it's like, Casey, I don't know what to do.
Isn't she the one who's going for, like, history or something?
Yeah, she's a history major.
Yeah, good luck. She's going to have to teach it. That's about all you can do.
Yeah. I've given thoughts. I, like, remember when I was, like, I would never become a teacher. And then I've given, like, that more consideration, considering I do like teaching people, and if I were to teach, I would have to be a college professor.
You can be mean to them.
Yes.
And not kid gloves them.
Yeah. And I would still be doing research.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that sounds exciting, Casey.
Yes.
What a joyous experience.
In the joyous time of the year.
It is. Also, there's just so much unknown going into 2021. Mm-hmm. I saw a post of the day and it was like, I haven't been seeing all these like 2021's gonna be my year. Y'all afraid, aren't you?
Oh, you know, because we've been doing that since 2016.
Well, and we all did that for 2020. I thought 2020 was gonna be my year.
Yeah.
D&D girl, that's a crit, two crits. Natural 20, mm-hmm. natural 20, and it was obviously just a ridiculous year, so mm-hmm. everyone's afraid about 21. We don't know what's going to happen. Is it going to be 2020 2.0, or is it going to be its own thing?
Yeah.
And hopefully better. I think it'll be better. Just, like, statistically, I feel like it has to be better.
Now I'm thinking about, like, that meme where it's, like, 2012. It's like, remember how that was the apocalypse? And then the guy comes up behind his 2020 and is smacking. It's like, that's how you do an apocalypse.
One, it was
like, the world ended in 2012, and it was like, to be honest, have any of you really felt alive since 2012?
Dude, honestly.
I found it entertaining. Like... Anywho. Well, I did something slightly less depressing, although it's also kind of gloomy.
Mm-hmm.
I watched another nature documentary because I was, you know, quarantined. So that's the only time I have time when I literally can't go to work and do stuff. So I went on to the Disney Plus. If you are hearing this episode out of order, I have been watching throughout, well, since we've started, some of the Disney Plus nature, the mm-hmm. Disney nature documentaries. And I did a whole rant on how they should have a rating system so that you know what you're getting into ahead of time in case you just wanted to, like, relax and watch a nice nature documentary and not cry horribly at the end. So I have watched another one, and I can update it to the list. This time I watched The Wings of Life, kind of actually inspired by our blue acorn butterfly.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll do a butterfly thing. We'll see how it is.
Represent.
Yeah. So I watched that, and basically what it's actually about is pollinators. It's really mm-hmm. about flowers and pollinators.
Yep.
So all the butterflies, bees, birds, ants, all this stuff, that's most of it, and caterpillars too. I was just sitting there, and then of course I'm watching the caterpillars, I'm just thinking about the blue acorn butterfly and those wasps. Ugh, disgusting. Anyway, I can also say that just watching it, my allergies were going insane. Just the pollen, because it's like, also, I don't know how they get some of those images. Those cameras have to be so powerful. Because mm-hmm. they're looking at these
things. I looked into, like, camera lenses for, like, macro shots of, yeah. like, insects. I swear, nobody owns them because, like, they're so expensive, well, so you just rent them.
Disney probably does because they're yeah. Disney. But, like, yeah, they're super. And there's this one fly they were showing. I forget what it was called, but it was a beautiful green fly. And I'm like, to get this kind of detail, holy snap.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, my allergy, because they showed the pollen just going, and I was just like, oh, I'm dying already just looking at that. And I, that's one that I actually would really like to watch on an IMAX screen because it's so many beautiful colors, and it would just be nice. It is a very slow tempo. It's my only issue with it, I guess. It was interesting. There were all kinds of things. Oh, one of the pollinators, they were talking about one section. What? It was a desert somewhere. I think it's in the Sonoran Desert in Mexico or something like that. And they're the cacti, and this special little, I forget what they're called, but it's like not a fruit bat, but it's a bat species that lives on an island, and they fly over and they get their nectar. I did not know that little baby bats just have to hang on to mom.
Yeah.
They just fly around, and like they might be like newborns, and just gotta hang on. And they're so cute. And mom goes and drinks all the, like, nectar and stuff. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's adorable. So they're really cute little bats. And then I knew that monarchs migrated from, like, somewhere in Mexico.
Yes, Mexico.
Mexico. Oh my gosh. So they show them when they're in it's like some forest area in Mexico. And the trees are just, it's a giant massive butterflies.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's crazy. And then they go down to the water and they're drinking. I'm like, obviously some of you are drowning because some of your friends are landing on top of you probably and pushing you into the water. Not purposefully. But so, yeah, I also didn't realize that monarchs were poisonous.
You didn't know that?
No.
I learned that in, like, elementary school.
I don't remember. Maybe I did, but I don't remember it.
I remember... Actually, we learned it about mimicry, and this is more middle school, because monarchs are poisonous, and there's a couple other ones. There's the viceroy, the queen, Arizona viceroy, and I remember back when I learned about them first, they were classified, this kind of mimicry was classified as Batesian, which is basically where the mimic is not toxic, but
they're trying to, yeah.
Yeah. But actually, now research shows that it's actually Müllerian mimicry, which is where the mimic is also toxic.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, even in the documentary, they were saying that orange, I mean, I think in nature, it's really just bright colors, but like orange and black is a warning.
Yeah. Bright colors on black. It's a post-somatic coloration.
And then they were saying that it's so successful that other butterflies
yeah
have developed those colors.
Yeah, but the interesting is With Batesian mimicry, the mimic has to be rare, because then if it's common, then predators will start to eat the mimic, have no effect, and then they'll start eating the actual toxic
animal. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it's crazy. And then I also didn't realize that no monarch makes that full migration. So I want to be like a summer monarch. Mm-hmm. I want to be in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in the snow, and I probably don't want to be in those. That didn't seem like a pleasant time, the Mexico part. I was like, I want to be in the Midwest on the milkweed that everybody else hates.
Yeah, the last trek is the longest.
Yeah. But it's crazy just like how they do that, and then like also just the likelihood that they die for all of the different reasons. But anyway, it was really cool. And also, it's just that's something that we witness in California. Because I hate it when I would like make commutes, especially if I'm going to Arizona. I hate it if you manage to get that in the time period they have their migration because it's just so many dead butterflies.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't avoid you. Like, please fly higher. Fly up higher than the road. Yeah. I'm like, oh, so many dead butterflies. I'm so sorry. But now I know. Don't let your pets attack them. Oh, my gosh. Was not aware of that. So, yeah, they only live for 9 months. But basically, it was funny because you brought up before that there are some insects and some plants that co-evolve together, and they're so dependent on each other. And they were saying that milkweed and, like, monarchs and that, not just a bunch of the other flowers and stuff are very specifically they need that specific animal. If that animal goes, then that flower is going to go, or that plant will go. And then if that flower or plant goes, then that animal will go. So it's crazy. It's just so crazy to me that, like, especially with in the case of the monarchs, because, like, where they start, this plant is not near them that they need. It's so far away. So crazy. Nature's insane. Anyway, so it was an interesting one. Yeah.
I want to make a little quick PSA. If you buy milkweed to, like, try to make corridors for monarchs, don't buy tropical milkweed, because we're actually seeing a problem now with monarch butterflies. There's this protozoan that they're getting. And one of the ways for them to get rid of it is by going on their migration. And what happens if you have tropical milkweed is that is a plant that just stays around year long. And so if you have milkweed that just stays around year long, the monarchs will stay and form a resident population. And there's actually a resident population over in Florida. They just stay there year-round. They have the highest percentages of this protozoan in their population. It's about 70% of them have it. Yeah, and it leads to things like smaller wings and several other deformations.
Oh, interesting.
So buy our native species of milkweed.
Okay. But also it's poisonous to, like, everything else. So maybe don't.
Tell them they're endangered. Also, don't kill them. It's technically illegal.
Technically illegal.
It's illegal.
I can't help it if they're flying in front of my car.
Yeah, because I'm like
5 miles an hour.
My entomology professor was telling us about how, like, some people would collect monarchs for their collection. And that's illegal.
Good to know. I didn't know that. Also, I just don't kill things in general if I can avoid it. So, and they're pretty. Why would you want to kill them?
Because you're an entomologist or an entomologist in training.
Evil. Anyway, but I can say this one might also be easier for me to deal with because they're insects. I still feel bad.
For shame.
I still feel bad. There's one caterpillar that goes, and I'm just like, this looks awful. But it wasn't still, I mean, you don't follow individuals with this one like you do with a lot of the other documentaries, because they go over different areas, kind of. But I would classify this one as safe. So, to reiterate, everyone, just because it's the holidays, you might be at home and be like, you know, I'm just gonna watch a nice nature documentary. Okay, so here we go. In the safe category, we have bears, dolphin reef, and the wings of life. In the mostly safe category, we have monkey kingdom, elephant, and penguins. And in the not freaking safe at all category, African cats and born in China. So there you have it. If you want to be really safe, bears, dolphin reef, and wings of life, and then monkey kingdom, elephant, and penguins. Honestly, I'd probably stick to the safe category. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Too emotional?
It is, and it's just, I don't know. Monkey kingdom's okay, but it's, just, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going with, penguins is kind of okay. It's also like wintry kind of a feel, but there's still some sadness there, but it's not as bad. So anyway, So I have that to add to it. Eventually, I will get through all the Disney Natures, although they keep making new ones, apparently. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. And then I need to get on to other ones. But that means I have to have time, which doesn't exist. Yes. I have to get kicked out of work because I have COVID to mm-hmm. have time. That's the only way I got this done. So anyway, so that's it. That's my what I did.
All right.
Casey. So, did you have something you wanted to talk about today?
Yes, I'm going to rant.
Oh, okay.
Against the government of California.
Okay. All right, go for it.
All right, so recently there was a ruling mm-hmm. by the Sacramento Supreme Court that...
Which is the California Supreme Court. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
For sure. They specified Sacramento, so...
Oh, well, hopefully it's California. Sacramento is our capital, so it would make sense. Anyway, mm-hmm. continue.
Yeah. So anyways, because they were trying to add 4 species of bumblebees to the... our Endangered Species Act.
Okay.
And the court ruled that insects were not intended to be included in the Endangered Species Act, so they cannot be listed.
What? Why?
That's what they're... Because the precedent of the establishment of, like, Fish and Game Department and stuff like that was not for insects. Even though they have a classification of invertebrate, which includes... several marine crabs and fish, but actual invertebrates cannot be included.
So, my curiosity here is what was the reason to not, the real reason, which is usually financial. It's usually, that means we can't build somewhere.
I do not know why. Well, they are they technically should be classified as endangered, probably most likely due to habitat loss and possibly overuse of insecticides, and competition with honeybees is probably another likely cause. There's probably the economic incentive for it to go to the court was people wanted to develop somewhere or mm-hmm. something like that.
It is in California.
Yeah. And so, by the way, good luck trying finding our native bee species. I honestly have only ever found one native bee species. Otherwise, I just find honeybees. You have to go into very undeveloped shrubby areas to find our native bee species. Hmm. Anyway, so...
That is annoying, but yeah. It's always money. It's always money.
Yeah. So, we can't include bees on our state Endangered Species Act, but there are bees that are included on our federal Endangered Species Act.
That's really stupid.
Yeah.
Just also, because California is big in agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of important mm-hmm. to our state and to a lot of what we produce.
Yeah.
Ugh, government is so annoying.
Yeah. It's like, I haven't looked in. I have to find out what the specific species are and don't know if they are, like, very species specific and have tight relationships with certain plant species. Because if that's the case and they don't get any protections at all, you can see whole ecosystems being wiped out.
But people don't care until it's actually a problem for them.
Yeah.
Ugh, I just can't. Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh. It's so frustrating.
Like, even with... Like, for me, honeybees sometimes is overly focused on. My focus would be more on our native species.
What is our native species?
We have several. We have over 1,600 species of bee in California.
Okay. What are they?
I can't name them off the top of my head, but there's the sweet bee. We have a few species of digger bee. We have mason bees.
Okay.
Leaf cutter bee. Again, I have not seen any of
them. Okay, I've probably only seen honeybees. I don't really know.
But yeah, a bee I collected, I think, is one of our species of digger bees.
Okay.
Yeah, and most of these are solitary bees. They aren't eusocial. But these 4 species, if I remember correctly, were all species of bumblebees.
Okay. Yeah.
Which tend to do better if you try to get conservation because they're a bit more charismatic.
Yeah.
Because they have...
Because they shimmy.
They're like chunky. They're cute. Chunky.
And they're a little bit fuzzy, too. They're like chunky but fuzzies.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my rant against the state of California.
Yeah.
Because... we are even subpar when it comes to the environment.
Yeah, we're not the best.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the worst by any stretch, but we're not the best.
Mm-hmm.
Just the United States in general is not very good.
Yeah.
So, but we do have awesome national parks.
Yes, we do.
Hopefully we continue to have them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes.
The national parks are the only reason I probably wouldn't sell some of the states.
looking back at that Louisiana Purchase, you're like, yeah, you can just take that back.
Just leave this part, because I want to go there.
Anyway. All right, well, on to happier thoughts. We have been neglecting our dog breed, so I decided I'd do another one, this month. So, of course, I chose something that's not as well known, in case you had no idea what I was talking about. So, I'm going to talk about the Schipperke today. They're so cute. Oh, are you looking up a picture right now?
Yes.
They're so cute. Okay, anyway. So, the Schipperke. And this is, again, from the AKC, because obviously they know the specifics.
They're the pompous dog people.
I mean, they kind of are, but, like, they also know the most information about these little guys. So, the temperament that they classify them with is confident, alert, and curious. Where do you think they rank on popularity, Casey? There's 196 breeds. Where do you think they rank? Not as well known, obviously.
72.
105. Not that far off. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they are about 11 to 13 inches tall for the men, for the males, and 10 to 12 for the females. They weigh about 10 to 16 pounds. And their general life expectancy is 12 to 14 years. Mm. They are also in the non-sporting group, if you care at all what group they're in. They there is some debate if they were bred from Pomeranians and some other smaller breeds.
I was going to say, they kind of resemble it.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to describe them before. I was like, it's kind of like a Pomeranian, kind of like an American Eskimo. Like, you can see that American Eskimo face, right? Yeah. They're not really out of Americanesque at all. But they actually were bred from a Belgian sheepdog type thing, bred down. They are a Belgian breed. They originated in the early 16th century. And obviously, of course, they have debated how they were bred.
how they
developed.
Are Frankensteinish.
Yes, how in general how we went from a wolf down to a Schipperke is a change. Anyway, so as far as our history goes, so the late medieval Belgium was the birthplace of the Schipperke. The Schipperke. I read it wrong. Apparently, it's correctly pronounced the Schipperke.
Sheep. What?
Schipperke.
Schipperke.
Though many American owners say Schipperke. I'm sticking to Schipperke. That's a way cuter name.
Okay.
So I don't care how it's supposed to be pronounced. That's the most pompous thing. Like, Schipperke is so much cuter. Anyway. So they earned their fame as shipboard exterminators on the canals and on the canals that crisscross the Low Countries in Belgium, obviously. And I have to read exactly because the way they just word things. This little black avenger.
Are you kidding me?
Of the Belgian dockyards was also a fearless watchdog on barges and in city shops. It was among the sailors and shopkeepers of Brussels and Antwerp that these quick, agile dogs earned the name Schipperke, which is Flemish for little captain. I don't know why any of that behavior means you're a little captain. It doesn't. But I guess you're a dog who's on a boat. Or near a boat. Anyway, so of course we already went over how tall they are. They were created as ratters and watchdogs. Kind of go over that.
Apparently Belgians don't have much to fear. If they're watchdogs, it's not.
Their powerful jaws, necks, and forequarters, coupled with a stealthy cat-like hunting style, make them ideal rat-catching machines, Casey. The black coat is profuse around the neck, shoulders, and legs, giving the breed a silhouette that accentuates a thick, substantial body. That is not how I would describe this breed. You have now seen a picture. Would you describe it as thick and substantial?
No,
it's adorable and, like, slightly fluffy. And they say the foxy face completes the unique look of the unique breed. I would say that they do have a foxy type
yes.
face, and they're really cute. I think they're adorable. I would kind of want to have one, maybe. This is where the dog breed type people come in. If you can't tell a Schipperke from an ordinary dog, you simply haven't been paying attention. Literally, exact words from the AKC.
Thank God.
Anyway, as far as if you want to get one for a pet, their coat is pretty simple. You just brush it once a week or so. They do shed a couple times a year, and with all dogs, keep their nails trimmed. They're very active and energetic. So they need to be walked daily or have a nice romp, as they put it, in a fenced-in yard. They love to explore it and, you know, check everything out. So you have to have patience to train them, and you definitely need to train them. And they can also, it says, let off steam racing around the house or apartment. So they get the zoomies, like cats.
Zoomies!
And due to their watchdog tendencies, they're saying, they can turn into barkers if not taught. So you really need to work on training them. They also say it's really important to get them to come back to you because they want to explore. They'll just wander off. So that's important. Really, training any dog is important. But it also says because of their temperament, they can be challenging to train. So you just have to be very, very patient with them. And they, as far as health risks go, they say they're generally healthy dogs. But the problems they do run into,
need that caffeine.
I need caffeine all the time. The main ones being concerns such as luxating patellas, slipping kneecaps, which I think is common in a lot of small breeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then leg calf parthes disease, hip problems, and eye problems and thyroid problems. So, and apparently there is another disease. It doesn't really break down what it is. It's called MPS IIIB or 3B. I don't know what that's supposed to be. And it's a newly recognized and fatal disease that usually shows up 2 to 4 years of age, as balance problems. So, anyway, regular trips to the vet, and they suggest that you check them for patella evaluation, ophthalmologist evaluation, and thyroid evaluation. But anyway, so that's a pretty active dog. This is not one to have if you're not going to train it, or you're going to have a little yapper, mm-hmm. It sounds like. But they're very unique looking, and I think they're adorable. And I've only seen one in person. Aren't they so cute, though, Casey?
Yes.
They are. And then I just like the American way of saying it. Skipper Key is so cute. What would you name your Skipper Key if you had one? Captain.
No.
You could name after, like, different Star Trek captains. But who's Belgian? Because Picard is French.
I don't know.
Anyway, they're super awesome. So yeah, that's our newest dog breed. Probably won't do a dog breed next month. It's not necessarily doing it every month. So, but now you have learned about, who did we learn about, Casey? Tell us. Do you remember?
The Skipper Key.
Yeah, that's today.
And
who was the last one that you thought sounded like food? It's a popular American food and the scientific name for a lion.
It's Leonberger.
Yeah, Leonberger.
Leonberger.
And then what was the first one, Casey?
Zolos and Quintly.
That was worse than the last time you said it. Shallow eats Quintly.
Shallow eats Quintly.
Yes. So we've discussed Leonberger is Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done Mexico. Well, yeah, Mexico, South America, most of Mexico. And then a German and a Belgian.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Anyway, speaking of doggies, it kind of segues.
Yes, it does.
We're going to go into some more canines. We talked about the kitties. That was last week, right?
Yes, it was.
Well, yesterday, technically, the way these are appearing. Yep. Mm-hmm. So now we're into dog-type animals. So
yes.
So who do you want to talk about, Casey?
Well, for me, I decided the category was the African canines.
Woohoo!
So I went with the Ethiopian wolf.
Cool. Tell us about them.
Yes. So the scientific name is Canis simensis. These guys only live in a few mountain ranges over in Ethiopia.
Okay.
Yeah. They live in alpine grasslands at higher altitudes. And so it's very low vegetation growth where they live. They weigh about 11 to 19 kilos, about 1 meter long.
Okay. Including the tail?
No.
Okay.
And I think they're one of the cooler looking canines because they have this reddish coat, mm-hmm. and they have a few white spots on their face and their chest and a bit on their rump. And they have this black end of their tail. I think they're cool.
Okay.
Yep.
I agree.
And they have a lifespan of about 10 years, which is very typical of most canines. And what I found interesting was genetic studies show that it is actually more closely related to gray wolves and coyotes than other African canids.
Interesting.
Yes. And they live in small packs up to 13 individuals, but despite this, they are primarily hunt on their own.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So they are primarily carnivorous, and they really are rodent specialists. That's what makes up the bulk of their diet. Specifically, giant mole rats if they are in the area.
Oh my, okay.
Yeah, that's what, and they'll hunt them by digging out their burrows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Occasionally, they will work together to bring down small antelope.
Okay.
But primarily, they're going to be rodent hunters.
Okay.
And so they're very important at for keeping rodent populations in check. And currently, they are not. They don't have any special status under CITES. And they're listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List.
Okay.
There's less than 200 mature individuals left. And the population is currently in decline.
Ugh. They're so cool looking, though.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like they look like a bigger fox.
They kind of do.
Kind of.
Yeah. But anyway. Nothing looks more like a well-sighted foxes
yeah.
than a Maine wolf.
Yeah. All right, well, Ethiopian wolf is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like last week when we talked about our black-footed cat being the mm-hmm. most deadly cat in Africa, my favorite African canine is the most successful hunter, I believe, in Africa, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They're ridiculous. And I am talking about the African wild dog, also known as the painted dog. First of all, I just think they look amazing. They're just so cool to look at. Their scientific name is Lycaon. I'm going to say Lycaon. Lycaon.
Might be Lycaon.
Oh, Lycaon. That makes sense. Lycaon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Pictus, which makes me think of the catfish. But anyway. Lycaon Pictus. They are 18 to 36 kilograms in weight. They are about 75 to 110 centimeters long, which is about a meter. Their lifespan usually comes in around 10 years. They primarily live in grasslands, savanna, and open woodlands in Africa. They have a patchy distribution all across Africa. And they are amongst one of the few monogamous mammals, which I feel like, or not mammals, but animals, but also mammals. So I feel like mammals are very rarely monogamous. But that's a wolf thing, too, a lot of the time.
Yeah, the quote-unquote dominant male and female are just parents, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. And then eventually they'll kick them out if they have to. The pack consists of dominant male and female that have exclusive breeding rights and their offspring. They hunt prey up to twice their size. I think I've seen them even go after a Cape buffalo before, which is insane.
Yeah.
And their technique for getting their prey is to just basically run them around and pester them and keep them running until the point of exhaustion. And then they can take them down, which is really sad, actually. Yeah. But
messy.
I mean, that is a successful way of doing it.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You just need the other, herd members to come and protect you, because then you can't do much about it.
No, because the whole concept of a herd is, we always say, selfish herd. It's you're purely in numbers because it's probably going to be your neighbor that gets killed.
Anyway. But that's how they do that. They can run over 1 kilometer occasionally mm-hmm. when they're in their hunts. And unlike other canines, they never scavenge. They're mm-hmm. not going to be with you like that. They want their fresh. They did the work. It's their fresh shit. They're also almost obligate carnivores. They rarely eat vegetation because, again, they want their good stuff. They're not settling for this grass. They don't want rabbit food. Screw that. They are listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List. It is estimated there are a total of 1,409 mature individuals left, which is a scary number. That's way too low. Their population is currently in decline, and they have no special listings under CITES. They're so cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I usually choose. Let's be real, because I just don't know a lot about them, but they're so cool. And when you see them, just playing with their pups, oh, it's the cutest. Anyway, I love
them. Then you see them hunt down an impala.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that. Also, because it's just so tired, and it's going to be so panicked. And that's what's horrible about it. Yeah. It's just a bad way to end your life.
It's the circle of life.
No. There are no wild dogs in that movie. Only hyenas.
Yes.
They don't even show a jackal in that movie. Anywho's. So yes, those are our picks. So we did last episode our favorite African small cat, and now we have our favorite African canine.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that we specialized last week for small cat when there's only two true big cats in Africa.
So what would we have even chosen, Casey? We would have two options, so one of us would have chosen one. You would have been the lion.
No, I think leopards are cooler.
I think leopards are cooler too.
Yeah.
But anyway. but there's so many species of small cat.
Yeah.
And they don't get a lot of love, I feel like.
No.
So.
They're small. They're small.
Gosh, you're so weird. Okay. Anyway, moving along. Today we have a premiere option because this is our listener's choice for our animal of the week. Although it did have to be edited slightly, but but yes, this is a type we have never covered, Casey.
Yes.
So exciting. Our animal of the week is
the golden mantella.
The golden mantella, our first amphibian.
Yes.
Tell us about the
Because I couldn't find anything about the pole.
Yeah, I don't know why that was an option before we knew we wouldn't be able to find anything. But they were cute, but there's like no info on them because people don't like to study frogs apparently as much.
That most of the information I found on that frog was on how they are as pets.
Yeah, that. don't have these as pets. So anyway, this is a cool froggy from. Well, you're going to tell us about him.
Yes. So these guys come from the order Anura.
Okay.
Basically, Anura is all frogs. And they've come from the family Mantellidae.
Mm-hmm.
And their scientific name is Mantella aran.
Yep, try again.
Mantella arantiaca.
Arantiaca?
Yes, that is correct.
I love it. That's fun.
Yep. And so these guys are an endemic species to Madagascar, so they're found nowhere else in the world. They are found only in a few small patches in the southeastern region of the island. And they have an average lifespan about 8 years, which is probably very typical for most frog species.
Okay.
And they're small. They're only about 3 centimeters.
Aww.
Yeah. And they are kind of shaped like a poison dart frog. The poison dart frogs
themselves. Yeah, they kind of look like them.
Yeah, they have that kind of distinctive stance.
I feel like they have that svelte. They're like the race cars of frogs, I feel like. Maybe the sports cars.
I don't know what. I don't know how I wouldn't describe them like that because they're actually pretty slow. They look like they're built, but like the true racers are like tree frogs.
We'll just say a sports car, not a race car.
Okay. Muscle car. I don't even know the definition
Nor
of these types.
I don't know cars. Move on. Nor do I.
Yeah. So like the vast majority of frogs, they are insectivores and will eat a large variety of invertebrates, including termites, ants, fruit flies, and essentially anything that they can fit in their mouth, as okay. frogs do. And what I found interesting is these are actually a subsocial species of amphibian. So actually live in kind of small little colonies.
Okay.
And there will be a ratio of about 2 to 1 of males to females.
Okay.
Could not find out why. That just happens by chance of the proportion of males to females.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are a diurnal species, meaning they will spend most, they will be most active during daytime, and they will spend that time feeding and mating. And then they will just sleep at night like I do, or I am supposed to be doing because I'm a total night owl. Yep. And males actually in this species vocalize less than in other species of Mantella. Don't know exactly why that is, but they hypothesize it is because they may not want to attract predators. But if they do encounter a predator, their first line of defense is the fact that they are very brightly colored.
Mm-hmm.
They're bright yellow orangish color, and that's a form of post-traumatic coloration to issue a warning sign to that there's danger.
Yes, I'm bright. Don't eat me. I'm poisonous. Yes. Is what that means?
Yes, and these guys are indeed a poisonous species. Like the poison dart frogs, they have a toxin that they secrete from their skin. And these guys are currently listed under Appendix 2 by CITES. They are currently listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List. Population is currently in decline. They don't know have any estimates on what the population is at right now. But their major threats are deforestation, human encroachment, and over-harvesting for the exotic pet trade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. gotta stop taking things from the wild. Like, they're cool, but don't.
Yeah, there are some places that are breeding them in captivity. Like, I think there's Josh's frogs, I believe. I don't know if they breed golden mantellas, but I do know they breed other species of mantellas as pets.
All right, well, they're cool little frogs. Our first little amphibian, we realized we haven't done an amphibian. So we're like, all right, great, we're going to do this. Well, not really a segue, but remember, Casey, do you remember what a bird's favorite subject in math was?
Algebra?
Algebra, yes. Mm-hmm. So speaking of math, what kind of snake is really good at math?
I don't know.
An adder. I love it so much. I thought you might actually get that one because you know your snakes.
I do.
Anywho's. But it is time for the challenge. And we are continuing, I believe, today, if I see Casey set up properly, pulling from our animals.
Yes.
That we have been doing, because we still have not gotten through all of them. So we'll just go until we eventually someday get through all of them.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's get our cups ready, Casey. And we're going to put 3 minutes on the timer, because we have found that two is too short.
We're slow.
We are so slow. Okay. I guess I'll just go first.
Okay.
Does it matter? Ready? Go. Okay. They just got reintroduced to Australia, mainland Australia, and they scream.
Oh, a sugar glider.
Nope, and it's not an angel.
Oh, Tasmanian devils.
Yes. Go for it.
One of my favorite colors.
Blue? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was blue. Oh, God, red, green. I don't know, Casey.
No, that was right, but,
Blue,
what's in my mouth?
A blue tongue skink.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Oh, wait. No, that's not right.
Oh, my gosh. Get it together, man.
Okay. You know the kind of fish that's the bubble that likes bubbles in Finding Nemo?
It's a, oh, my God. Why can't I think of what it's called? It's not a crab. It's a, oh, my God.
It's a fish.
It's a fish? I don't remember him. A blue tang. I'm just going to say a blue tang. A blue tang is Dory.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm brain dead.
Okay. This is a type of deer thing, and it's big. And they're at the Grand Canyon. I kept running into them. And
elk?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, they're orange, striped.
A tiger?
Africa. Antelope.
Oh, seriously. An eland? No. We went to a giant eland. Yep. A bongo?
Yes.
Okay. My formal beast.
A copy.
Yes.
They're a large bird from Australia.
An emu. A cassowary.
Yes.
Okay. This is a type of fish. When there are a lot of colors, it's a...
Rainbow?
Yes. And this is a very rainbow popular fish. Type of fish that people fish in lakes, usually.
Oh, rainbow trout.
Yep.
Okay, it's white, it eats dead stuff, also cracks eggs with rocks.
A vulture?
What kind of vulture?
Oh, your vulture, an Egyptian vulture?
Yes.
Okay. Your vulture. This is one I just pulled randomly. The opposite of white.
Black.
The opposite of Snow White and the Seven.
Dwarfs.
And it's, what's Zazu in Lion King?
Toucan?
No.
What is Hornbill?
Yes, so put those together. White?
White dwarf.
Nope.
White.
Opposite of white.
Black dwarf. Hornbill.
Yes, okay, go.
Good lord. Okay, creepy crawly makes webs.
A spider. Spider.
I know, but
not a web spider. The one you like. No, you didn't get that one.
No. Huntsman.
Okay. We'll add that to our... We did terrible, Casey.
Yes, this because of my... I done goof. I done goof big.
You just have to say, like, just keep swimming. It's okay. I'll forgive you.
I don't know.
I got five. I think that's what we did last time.
Four.
Oh my gosh, we only got nine, and we upped it to 9 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. What am I saying? I'm an insane person. Well,
we're pathetic.
We're not doing well with this at all. This is why we're never going to get through all of these. I thought we'd be through this in like a couple rounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Eventually, we're going to get through all of these. I hope you did a better job of guessing than we did. And we're going to have to play this when we eventually have a guest and see if they do better.
Yeah.
Maybe we just suck. How many more? There's so many more in this cup.
Same.
All right. Put Huntsman Spider back in because we didn't get it. We'll just hope we'll get buried and we'll do it again later. All right. Well, that brings us to the end, folks, of episode 20. Our next episode is when in America you can legally drink.
Woo!
Woo!
And smoke, depending on which state you're in.
Truth. That's true. So yes. Also, 21. Casey, what year is it next year?
2021.
He's so excited.
2021.
How fun! And
perhaps a happier horizon.
We hope. And that will also be our final animal in Africa.
Yes, it will.
And then we. I don't know what that was. That was really weird. And then we will go into Asia, Casey.
Yes.
Down and over.
Yep.
Into Asia. And we know there's going to be cool stuff in Asia. I'm excited for Asia. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this, the 20th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on the next episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast.